Jennifer Hambrick, midday host of Classical 101, WOSU Public Media in Columbus. I'm speaking with John Lund, the award-winning composer of the music for the television series and now the film Downton Abbey. It's impossible really to imagine Downton Abbey without your theme music coming to mind. And of course, the other music you've composed for the show and for the movie is very much in keeping with the sound world of the main theme. Could you talk a little bit about what you had in mind for the sound world you created in the music for the series, what you hoped it would communicate to viewers who watch the series, and also to viewers who see the film at this point?
So the music I've written for the television series was kind of my own direct take on the way that the story was going to unfold. You know, I always write to the visuals, I always write with the dialogue in mind. I never switch the dialogue off. So it's never really about the place or the time. It's much more about what's going on inside people's heads and how they're feeling or how they're reacting to other people or, you know, the relationships between them. So it's neither, you know, 1912 or, you know, the movie's 1928. We've moved on about, you know, 15 or 16 years. But the music was never really about that period, although I haven't ignored it. And nor is it really even about England either. So I was just really looking for, you know, a harmonic structure that would enable me to tell those people's stories, really.
Along those lines, then, are there particular sections of music for the film that seemed to come particularly easy to you, or maybe the opposite, that seemed to come more painfully, difficultly than usual?
It was much easier than I was expecting, partly because we weren't remaking the TV series. It was actually a direct continuation from the way we left off at the end of season 6. So a lot of the themes and the relationships that ended up at the end of that season were transported into the movie, and I think people were expecting me to do that as well anyway. But like every episode, there's always, you know, new characters and new storylines, so I had to develop those. I'd say in the movie there's probably more kind of comic moments in it than there are in an episode. And funnily enough, actually, I find the comic moments quite difficult to score. I find it easier to make people cry than laugh. Not sure why. I think it's partly because the comic music does really need absolutely split-second timing. And that's quite laborious as well to kind of work out how, you know, how you hit those points. But to be honest with you, nothing was really actually that tricky.
Given what you've said about having the dialogue among the characters constantly in your head and really that driving a lot of your creation of the music for Downton Abbey, the series and also the film, there's a long tradition now of composers writing film scores along somewhat, and I'll put it this way, Wagnerian lines. And by that I mean more specifically using leitmotifs, assigning specific themes, musical themes, that is, to certain characters or places or states of mind, that sort of thing. This does not seem to have been your approach in writing the music for Downton Abbey, but what was your approach? Again, particularly in light of what you said earlier about always having the characters and what they're saying and feeling and thinking in your mind.
Well, the music was really about the relationships between people. So a lot of the motifs, they're not really done, as you say, in a Wagnerian way. They work more like a sort of shorthand between kind of charting the relationship between a character as to where those relationships are progressing or where they've been in the past. And also it helps, particularly in a TV series where people might have missed an episode, the music almost works like a kind of shorthand to describe how they're feeling towards one another. And so that's really, you know, what the music's been based on, whether it's been the relationship between Matthew and Mary in the beginning. You know, they ended up having like five or six different themes, partly because their relationship went through so many different aspects. And the same with Anna and Bates. They had their own tunes. Again, that was a kind of very up and down, you know, relationship as well. And then the theme music itself is probably the house. The house is kind of, Downton Abbey's got kind of its own theme.
Thank you for those specific examples from the series of how you're thinking about putting together the musical themes in your music kind of goes hand in hand with the relationships and how they are developing among the characters. Can you give us maybe an example or two from the film in which your music very potently and palpably conveys maybe new aspects of relationships among characters or that sort of thing?
Yeah, so there's a track 16 on the CD is called Sunset Waltz, and that was by probably actually for me one of the trickiest things in the show because it comes directly out of a ballroom scene and the beginning of it is actually music by Johann Strauss. And then it has to metamorphose into, well, Downton Abbey music. Actually, it was quite a good example of they both, in many ways, they both Downton Abbey and Johann Strauss actually sound quite classical, but they're really quite different styles of music. And the reason why that track exists is that at one point towards the end of the movie, we actually come out of the ballroom and onto a balcony, and it's just two people dancing, and it's a very romantic scene. And the Johann Strauss, when we laid it up against the balcony scene, it just wasn't really working. It just wasn't really, I don't like to use the word sexy because it's not, there's no sex on screen, but it just wasn't making it, you know, romantic enough. And also the couple are quite young as well. And so it kind of gave me a chance to kind of expand the music into almost slightly more getting towards those kind of 40s or 50s film scores. And I found that quite, you know, interesting doing that, being able to kind of use, you know, periods of traditional film music for the ages of the people that were involved, if that makes any sense.
I know that you said earlier in this interview that when you were conceiving of the sound world for your music for the Downton Abbey television series, you weren't so much trying to convey anything from the period, you know, the 19-teens, the 1920s. You weren't so much trying to convey a sort of quote-unquote English sound. But so much of the music that you've written for Downton Abbey, the series, and the film as well, features the string orchestra sound. And there's this fabulous tradition of string serenades and so forth that emerges across Europe in the late 1800s and early 1900s. So roughly the time in which Downton Abbey is set, and many of the loveliest string serenades from around that time are, in fact, by British composers.
Yeah.
Edward Elgar, Arnold Bax.
Absolutely.
I would also include music that Holst composed for the St. Paul's Girls School.
Absolutely.
So it sounds like you weren't intentionally trying to capture that great British string serenade sound in your music for Downton Abbey, but somehow I kind of think you did.
Yeah, I think I probably did that, you know, just almost, not by accident, but I kind of used, and I did listen to a lot of that music when I was starting work on Downton, and I do know exactly what you mean. I mean, it is a good, it's a really good sound, you know, particularly for a movie. I mean, it's partly because, you know, the string parts are actually split into many different groups. You know, it's not, you don't just have a, you know, a first violin part and a second violin part and a viola part. The first violins might have three different parts, you know, and the same for the violas. all going on kind of at the same time. So that kind of makes it really rich. And that was one thing that I was definitely aware of in the orchestration. And I quite like writing music like that as well. But if you look at the underlying harmony of it, it's much more like pop. It's closer to pop music and jazz than it is to Elgar and Vaughan Williams. But basically, I've taken the sound of that period, but put slightly different harmony to it. In fact, in some ways, but the harmony is possibly even closer to Ravel than it is to Elgar or Vaughan Williams.
As we see the Downton Abbey film and experience your music along with the storyline and the visuals, how do you think we should experience your music operating in the film?
Well, hopefully, I think it very quickly kind of gets you back into that Downton world. I think people will definitely laugh a lot. They'll probably cry a bit. But I think they'll definitely leave the cinema in a better mood than when they entered it, I think is what we're kind of after. And the music is very much a part of that. I mean, it seems to have become a character almost of its own, because the first 4.5 minutes of the movie is just music. That first track, A Royal Command, on the CD, is basically the first 4.5 minutes of the movie. And I think virtually the only word that happens in it is blimey. And so I think it's probably its biggest use is an introduction. It takes you back into Downton, and I think that was really important for the story and for the fans.
John Lunn, once again, you are the award-winning composer of the music for the television series Downton Abbey and most recently the film Downton Abbey. Thanks again so much for your time today.
Thank you very much.